Make the choice to begin anywhere in your life, and the journey has started.
We exist more than just to educate. We exist to also revitalize.
And along the way, you can inspire others and be inspired.
But now there's a new generation of scholars, and I am among them.
If you really want to know who you are and what you are capable of, Howard is the choice for you.
Take a moment. Listen to the stories by joining the president of Howard University, Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, and his guest on The Journey.
She's one of only 50 African-American female information systems business school professors in the entire country. Her research focuses on online health information, human information searching behavior, diversity of the information technology workforce, and the socio-cultural impact of technology. As an alum and member of the Howard University faculty, her goal is to expose her students to all that Howard offered her and help them realize that their possibilities are limitless. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is Associate Professor and Chair of the Information Systems and Supply Chain Management Department here at Howard University School of Business, Dr. Allison Bryant. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you grew up here in Fort Washington, Maryland.
I did.
What was that like?
It was exciting. I grew up in a house with my mother, my grandmother, and my sister. I went to public school from third grade through high school. I'm a graduate of Oxon Hill Senior High School Science and Technology program, so I'm local. But I had a lot of opportunities to be exposed to technology, and so it was really exciting for me.
What was your first exposure to technology?
So I was in Montessori for kindergarten, and there was one of the very first Macintosh computers in there, and the only thing you could do on it is there was a little turtle. You could tell to go up, down, left, or right. And I was mesmerized by this thing. I would spend all day on it till the teacher told me to go do something else. So that was really my first exposure.
And in terms of, I would imagine as well, at that time, there probably weren't many young girls really thinking about how computers worked and how they could work even better.
No, not at all. I remember my mother worked at the World Bank, and they had a computer purchasing program. So these computers were huge, like the size of a refrigerator, but they would allow you to bring one home. So she did, and I didn't do anything but tap on it all day long, but I had no idea what to really do with it. And then a friend of mine, her father, was a computer engineer, so he got me a subscription to BASIC magazine, which was like how you code in BASIC. And so that was my only sort of guidebook on how to do anything with technology at the time.
So you were doing a lot of it kind of as you go, feeling your way around it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really had no idea what I was doing, but I knew it excited me.
Right. Now, tell me a bit about your siblings in terms of growing up. Were there any of your siblings influencing you around this, or seeing any of their challenges kind of focused you around what you would eventually do?
So I have a sister and two brothers, one of which passed away when I was in high school. But interestingly enough, my sister is a social worker and my brother is an accountant turned IT professional. So we all sort of had an interest in technology, but I think I was the one that took it most personally. My siblings inspired me because they were just always go-getters and they were always doing something or, you know, being very visionary in school, and so they were just role models for me in general.
Now, in high school in Oxon Hill, I would imagine because of some of the focus on science and technology at that time, there were probably people influencing you positively. Were there people you felt that doubted what you were capable of doing as well?
Interestingly enough, when you're in the science and technology program, you have to select a major. And so mine was computer science, just because I, you know, like I said before, I'm so interested in technology. The first class that I took in that space, I had a professor, and I wasn't doing all that well. We were still doing programming in Pascal, and I was having a rough time, and I remember me and my mother meeting with him and him saying, you know, well, if she doesn't get it, maybe she's just not that smart. And if you know my mother, that's one thing that she will not accept. Lots of things she'll accept, and we're not perfect, but she was not going to accept that. So I ended up actually changing my major to pre-engineering technology, and I was able to complete, obviously, my diploma there and finish my time out. But it sort of lit an internal fire in me that as much as I love technology, I wasn't going to let it be the end of my career there.
Right. And what other types of activities you participated in high school that you feel may have contributed to giving you a well-grounded perspective?
So I was part of Future Business Leaders of America. So at that time, not really even understanding that business wasn't a major in college, but just knowing that business seemed to be what drove the world around me was really influential. And then I looked around for people who I knew worked sort of in technology. I didn't know a lot about what they did, but they always seemed like they were excited by their work and that, you know, they were prosperous. So I thought that was a good thing.
And did you play any sports or participate in other types of activities?
So I tried to do a little bit of everything because I think I read an article once that said, if you want to go to college, try as much as you can. So I played softball, JV, and had to sub as a varsity pitcher, which was terrible. I was a cheerleader as well. And then I did just some other extracurricular activities when I was in high school.
And why Howard?
In my 10th grade year, I did a summer program for pre-college students. Dr. Aboko Cole, she was the person who ran it. And something about being on campus, even though it was close to home, still had a feeling of something very distinct and different. So I knew that I could come and have an experience and just immerse myself in the culture, even though I could technically go home and wash my clothes.
Right. It makes a whole lot of sense.
It does.
No, and your major when you entered was marketing.
It was marketing because I saw a movie. It was Boomerang with Eddie Murphy, and he was an ad exec, and I thought I could do that. So a 17-year-old person looking at majors, right, thought marketing would work. But luckily for me, when I came into the School of Business, I was exposed to a class called Management Information Systems, and that is really where I was able to switch my major to information systems and look at the integration of business and technology, which was very exciting to me because exactly what I wanted to do.
And what other types of activities you participated in on Howard's campus? You obviously had a well-rounded experience in high school. Mm-hmm. How were you able to apply that in to your undergrad experience?
So I also tried to utilize a little bit of everything strategy. I was in the Executive Leadership Honors Program in the School of Business. I was an intern at WHUT. I participated in a lot of case competitions and things like that. So I tried to interact with as many different types of people as I possibly could. And so it was a growth experience for me, definitely, while I was here.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Allison Bryant. She's the chair of the Information Systems and Supply Chain Management Department here at Howard University School of Business. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So you then graduate from Howard University and decide to take your talents to Penn State. Why Penn State?
So I was interested in going to a PhD program where I could study technology, but how it impacted people. And what I found in my research was that business schools wanted you to focus a little bit more on profit models. Engineering programs wanted you to focus on process. But I really wanted to understand how technology could and should affect people. So Penn State was one of the first schools to have an information school. So these types of schools are interdisciplinary. So they allow you to study people, process, and technology. So in that space, the idea of looking at human resources or social impact, all of those things were welcomed because the faculty was made up of people from almost every discipline. So it was a perfect fit for me.
And you worked as a technology analyst at Accenture before doing that. So how did that influence your ultimate dissertation, and what have you since discovered about that process, people, and technology?
So I was at Accenture, and we were working on a client project where the end goal was to create a Palm Pilot, dating myself, software where there had to be, you had to itemize the things that someone did at their job. But there was no space to put in exceptions, right? And in this line of work, there were always exceptions. So myself as an analyst, I asked myself, like, how did we get this so wrong? It seemed like something that would be fairly simple to include in the process. So I wanted to go back to grad school to better understand how we could elicit information from people in a way that helped us to see a more full picture. Because as much as we think we know what we want, it's hard to explain sometimes. So I went back to school thinking I would study how information systems influences human resources. No clue. Definitely didn't end up studying that. I ended up studying web searching behavior of individuals who are both black and white, looking at their health information searching behavior on WebMD. At that time, the conventional wisdom was that the internet will replace the doctor. We know that not to be true, but there was some lines of thinking in that way. So I wanted to see, you know, how does that affect different people? And what I learned was it was not about race. It was more about resources and socioeconomic class. Your ability to actually be able to communicate with your doctor. Can you email them? Can you call them? Do you have a relationship? Do you have health insurance? These are all much more important questions to be answered. And our ability to understand people's resources and meet them where they are is a much better way to use technology as a resource than just deciding maybe what community you live in is how we should provide resources.
So I'm very curious about that because as a type 1 diabetic, I wear a pump and a sensor. Mm-hmm. And I often think, you know, if I could not have afford those things, what impact would it have on the state of my health? So when you look at the people and the power is probably changing.
Absolutely.
And I think in information systems, I'm sure that artificial intelligence is beginning to play a role. What do you see that role being in furthering some of these things that you've already studied and people are obviously living and coming to fruition today?
Absolutely. So this is one of the most exciting times around information technology and using artificial intelligence for a benefit for long-term healthcare. And the idea that we're not looking to invade people's privacy, but we're better able to do now is to look at larger data sets, to be able to understand what the nuances are in those data sets, and to be able to help our physicians, our nurses, our practitioners make more educated determinations about care, about medicine, about prescriptions, all of those types of things based on a number of use cases, not just maybe one or two instances. And to also link that up with theory as well as what's happening. We can never take out the human element. Technology is wonderful, but it works the best when we are allowed to put that human touch on it. And so in medicine, it's so very important, and I'm really excited about what's to come for it.
Now, you obviously returned to Howard after. Why did you return to Howard?
Well, I returned to Howard because I feel like so many of the successes that I was able to achieve post-graduation had to do with so much of the love, the care, the nurturing, the knowledge that was poured into me as an undergraduate student. I had mentors, professors. You never felt like a number. Someone was always looking out for you, cheering for you, wanting the best for you. And I felt like the best way to honor that was to pay it forward to students who are here now.
So you teach at least one class that you took as a student.
I do. It's the exact same class we talked about, management information systems. So the class that helped me change my major and probably my career trajectory is a class that I also teach and I absolutely love.
And what do you see about that class today that is so different from when you initially taught it?
So when I took it as a student, it was really about how hardware and software and the capabilities of it could be useful in organizations. Now that question is really answered. We're not looking to figure out if technology is useful. It's how can we leverage it for competitive advantage to understand our consumers better? How can we look at analytics and social media and make sure that our the people who we're working with feel special and like they're not a number? So now we're really talking about the exciting sort of personalized, customized pieces of technology that businesses can use to build competitive advantage.
And what do you want students to really take away from that in terms of how they use and apply technology?
So I think that technology is the ultimate enabler right now. It's not the answer, but it's definitely the tool to get work done. So I want students to look at it as a skill set that doesn't necessarily take them away from their interests, but supports anything they might want to do. So you might be interested in sports or entertainment or healthcare or finance, but all of those things can have a very complementary technical skill set where the possibilities in terms of entrepreneurship and building relationships and networks are endless if you use technology.
Now, I usually ask my guests why Howard, if they are associated with Howard in a deep way as you are. But the reality is you've answered that question twice, both
yes,
as a student and as a faculty member. So my question would be more specifically, why information systems and supply chain management?
So information systems is really my first love. As many times as I think I tried to take different roads, I thought about graphic design, I thought about journalism, obviously marketing. I keep being brought back to technology because I really do believe in its power. I believe in the power to change things in a positive way. And being part of that community, it means that we have to also, as exciting as it is, be aware of the risks and the sort of detrimental pieces that come with it, and be prepared to fight against them to make sure that privacy still exists so that people are protected in their homes and in their interactions. But I believe that, you know, the world can be a better place through technology. So I can't say no to it as much as I've tried maybe sometimes.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Allison Bryant. She's the chair of the Information Systems and Supply Chain Management Department at Howard University School of Business. And I definitely think that she is a true daughter of Howard. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Join me next time on The Journey.